This is PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to listeners in North America on 11880 kilohertz and to listeners in Southeast and East Asia on 9335 kilohertz. The current time is 1330 UTC.
From PTJ Radio International, this is Focus Asia Pacific. I'm Andy Sennett. China's notorious re-education through labor camps will soon be a thing of the past. The decision to close them puts an end to a controversial punishment system long criticized for its human rights abuses, with people often held there for years without trial. Human rights groups claim as many as 160,000 inmates were being held at 260 labor camps at the start of 2013. Hui Fan-tai reports from Beijing.
The notorious camps, thought to have been based on the Soviet gulags, were set up in the 1950s to punish critics of China's Communist Party. It allowed authorities to send anyone to prison for up to 4 years without a trial, with the labor camp sentence almost impossible to appeal. Over the years, the camps gained a bad reputation amid allegations of human rights abuses. So many, both inside and outside China, welcome moves by the Chinese leadership to get rid of the system. Lei Jianbing is from the Chinese lawmaking body known as the National People's Congress. Lao Jiao has become less applicable over the past few years, and the applicable period is also shortening, he says. In fact, in March this year, many areas in China had stopped using Lao Jiao. Most of those detained in the labor camps were arrested for drug offenses, either selling or buying small quantities of illegal narcotics. However, others held included people deemed as troublemakers. One such case involved a mother who was sent to a camp after she tried to seek justice for her daughter, who had been kidnapped and raped. Another was Li Xuehui, who spent 12 months inside one Beijing facility in 2010 for causing trouble. Mr. Li was sent there for throwing so-called ghost money, or sheets of paper used for ancestral worship, in Tiananmen Square during U.S. President Barack Obama's visit in 2009. Someone would take note of my activity every 30 minutes, even if I was just sleeping, he says. I sat on a stool all day, either writing a report or writing something expressing my remorse. There's little detail about a community-based correction system that will replace the labor camps, some of which are to be transformed into drug rehabilitation centers. But human rights activists and lawyers have their reservations, as does former detainee Li Xuehui. If the lawmakers don't pursue the unconstitutionality of re-education through labor, then how can they come up with a replacement that does not violate the constitution, he says. Chinese state media say all those currently serving time will be set free and will not be forced to serve out the remainder of their sentences. This is Hui Fan-tai in Beijing for Asia Pacific.
The Australian daughter of a man being held in a Pakistani jail on blasphemy charges has appealed to both the British and Australian governments for help. Her father, who's in his 70s and has dual Pakistani-British citizenship, was arrested at his Lahore clinic in late November. His family say he's been targeted by Muslim extremists. Tom Fail reports.
Masood Ahmed is a member of the minority Ahmadiyya community. The religious sect faces discrimination and worse in many Muslim countries, but the persecution is particularly severe in Pakistan. Ahmadis can face hefty prison sentences for what's termed behaving like Muslims. They're also the frequent target of attack by extremist groups. These days, their mosques and even graveyards require heavy security. According to his Australian daughter, Masood Ahmed's crime appears to have been reading a verse from the Quran.
My father is a homeopathic doctor and he practiced in his clinic in Lahore. And two men posed themselves as patients and after taking medicines, asked him to explain them a verse from Quran. When my father read the verse, they secretly taped and used it to make a police case. And then police arrested my father on extreme pressure from Muslim extremists.
Sophia Ahmed says despite his age and poor health, the courts have so far refused to grant her father bail, accusing the judiciary of bowing to pressure and threats from outside. Masood Ahmed lived in Britain for more than 20 years before returning to Pakistan in the late 70s to work in community health.
He was living very peacefully and he was very happy and he was, serving the people and practicing as a doctor and no problem.
Do you believe he was targeted? He was set up?
Yes, I believe, yeah. He also found a mark on his car and outside the shop.
Is there anything else, do you think, at play here other than the fact that he's a member of the Ahmadi community?
No, it's just because he's Ahmadi.
Sophia Ahmed says while her father's health is failing and he is in urgent need of medical attention, he remains strong mentally.
The BBC journalist talked to him and I talked to her. She was saying that he's a strong man and mentally he's good, but health is getting weak. Health is not good.
Masood Ahmed's family says their lawyers are hopeful he will be allowed out of prison once the bail application reaches the country's high court. But his daughter in Australia says international pressure is essential to ensure he gets a fair hearing when the case does eventually go to trial.
We requested the Home Office in London and British High Commission in Islamabad, but their help is limited at this stage. The High Commission staff had visited my father in jail, but we want at least ensure my father gets fair treatment and fair proceeding in court. My father and my other five siblings, a British citizen, and we need government support in getting a fair treatment for my father. I just also want to request Australian government to speak to the Pakistani authorities and please help me release my father, whose health is declining every day in jail.
The New Zealand government has been warned it faces possible legal action and a boycott of fish exports unless it boosts protection for the critically endangered Maui's dolphin. The small cetacean is only found in New Zealand waters, but it's on the brink of extinction with just 55 adult dolphins left. Dominique Schwartz has more.
The Maui's dolphin lives off the west coast of the North Island. It's a subspecies of the more populous Hector's dolphin, found further south. To the eye, they look the same. But you're unlikely to see a Maui's because it's the world's rarest dolphin.
So there's probably around about 12 or 14 breeding females. So this is as endangered species get. So unless we do the right things, they could be gone within a decade or two.
Professor Steve Dawson from Otago University has spent 3 decades studying New Zealand's dolphins with his colleague, Dr. Liz Sluton.
The safest thing to do with these animals would be to get rid of all of the entangling fishing technologies out in water less than 100 metres deep.
The New Zealand government agrees that set nets, or gill nets, are the dolphins' biggest threat. The Primary Industries Minister recently increased the area in which such fishing is banned. But he hasn't gone far enough, according to Dr. Sluton.
It's likely that the minister will be taken to court for doing too little too late. He really does need to remove those nets from the whole of Maui's dolphin habitat, not just from about 10% of it.
Leading international scientific and conservation groups agree. And German-based Nabu International hopes to force the government's hand.
We are going to launch in January a fish boycott against New Zealand. Australia will be an important country in this context, as it is, after China, the second largest importer of fish from New Zealand.
The fishing industry says the extension of the Maui's protective area won't guarantee the survival of the species, but it will guarantee the loss of fishing jobs.
The industry says the government should assist seafood operators affected by any restrictions. Otherwise, it won't be just Maui's facing extinction.
The late South African President Nelson Mandela, who died at age 95 on December the 5th, is a man who is well respected by leaders in East Timor who are fighting for freedom. He not only paved the way for the wounds of apartheid to be healed in his country, but he also helped other countries trapped in the struggle for freedom, including East Timor, where he met and called for the release of political prisoner Xanana Gusmão. Kanatha Sabapathy reports.
East Timor's independence activists have had a strong ally in the African National Congress. The relationship with the ANC goes as far back as the 1970s, but following the end of apartheid rule in South Africa, East Timor's then-exiled political activists like the former president José Ramos Horta and the current foreign minister José Luis Guterres had approached the ANC to facilitate dialogue with the Indonesian government. Mr. Guterres explains.
I believe that President Mandela, because he has some similar history of struggling for freedom and spent many, many years in jail, he was very sensitive to the issue of freedom. So he took the case very, very, very in his heart and did everything to help the freedom for Timor-Leste.
Mr. Mandela, who was fond of batik shirts, visited Indonesia four times since his release from prison. And on his third visit in 1997 as president, he not only called for the release of the then political prisoner Xanana Gusmao, but also insisted on meeting with him. Initially refusing the request, Indonesian President Suharto then acceded to it by arranging for Xanana Gusmao to meet with President Mandela at the guest house within the presidential compound. For the East Timorese, the fact that the meeting took place and then made public through a media leak was in itself a milestone in their struggle for independence. Mr. Guterres again.
The fact that President Mandela gave time to meet with Xanana Gusmao and the fact that the government of Indonesia, President Suharto, allowed it, it's a milestone in our struggle for independence and freedom. And we later, I was in a delegation together with José Ramos Horta, and then we met also President Mandela. He was really very, very keen in finding ways to finding a solution, a peaceful resolution to the, at that time, the ongoing struggle in Timor-Leste.
The meeting between the two men was private, but Dr. Sarah Niner, who was then researching her thesis on Xanana Gusmao and had access to him, was privy to what had transpired between the two men.
He advised Xanana that he really had to find a sort of compromise solution with the Indonesian side for East Timor. And he actually recommended that Xanana consider the Indonesian autonomy proposal that the Indonesians had been offering for quite a long time. And Xanana rejected that idea. He said that that wouldn't do for East Timor and that they'd had a peace plan proposal that they'd also been advancing for quite a long time. And he explained that plan to Mandela. So Mandela still advised him, though, that he really did need to come to a solution. And Mandela spoke about the process that he'd gone through in reconciling with the South African regime.
Reflecting on the South African style of transition, where he was in negotiations with the de Klerk administration before his release, Mr. Mandela had hoped that the Indonesian government would allow Mr. Gusmao to participate directly in the UN-sponsored Vienna talks on East Timor to ensure a peaceful resolution to the ongoing conflict. This, however, did not happen, but the meeting between the two men had sent an important international message to President Suharto that Xanana Gusmao's involvement was a key to the solution in East Timor. In addition, it also came as a boost to Mr. Gusmao's confidence, says Dr. Sarah Niner, who is currently a research fellow at Monash University.
Xanana felt very honoured to be sitting at a table with Mandela and to be raising the status of East Timor's struggle to that international level. You've got to remember, he'd been in the jungle for years. He'd been stuck in a prison in Indonesia for years. He was just starting to come out into the international arena for the first time. And the meeting with Mandela was really almost the start of that process for him to be coming out on the world stage and becoming an international sort of spokesman for his country.
In the end, East Timor's birth through a UN-held referendum in August 1999 was followed by bloodshed inflicted by the retreating Indonesian military and its local militias. But as the new nation's first president, Xanana Gusmao, like Nelson Mandela, opted for peace and reconciliation with his former enemy, Indonesia. Instead of holding Indonesian perpetrators accountable for human rights abuses, the Truth and Friendship Commission, a bilateral commission with Indonesia, was set up in 2005. Its mandate was to investigate human rights abuses by the Indonesian military, but its term of reference was to promote friendship and cooperation between the two countries. This put Mr. Gusmao at odds with his own colleagues, But Foreign Minister Jose Luis Guterres says it does send an important message to Indonesia.
Human rights violations cannot happen again, and all of us are against impunity. So for our people, we are doing everything in order that the freedom and democracy that today we have will continue forever.
And with that report from Kanaha Sabapathy, we end this edition of Focus Asia Pacific. For more on the region, visit our website, www.ptjmedia.com/FAP. For PTJ Radio International, I'm Andy Sennett.
A funny thing's been missing from air travel recently. It's called customer service. And it's not just about saying welcome aboard and see you again soon. It's about understanding why you fly. It's about the hundreds of hours of training we go through before we even step on board a plane. It's the way we prepare the cabin and each other before every flight. It's about how we say hello, whether it's the 30th time you've flown with us or the first. We are over 10,000 strong in 90 destinations around the world. We are China Airlines, and we blossom for you every day.
This is the Son of PCJ.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Good evening to listeners in Southeast and East Asia who are tuning in on 9335 kilohertz. Good morning to listeners in North America who are tuning in on 11880 kilohertz. And a very, very early good morning, because it's after midnight, to listeners in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, who are listening to us on 101.9 FM. 101.9 FM is the frequency used for Radio Australia in Port Moresby, and tonight they're carrying the program there. So it really is a good morning and good afternoon, wherever you may be, kind of thing. This week, by the way, just like last week, we are live again. And the reason is, It was so well received, and I had so much fun doing it live, that we decided to do it again this week. And who knows, maybe we'll do it again next week as well. So because today we're doing the show live, guess what? We have something that we're giving away. That's right. We're going to be, you know, announcing the winner just like we did last week at 1420 UTC. This week, we're giving away a radio courtesy of Sea Crane Radio. That's right, Sea Crane Radio in the United States. You can check them out online at www.seacrane.com. That's www.seacrane.com. The radio that we are giving away today is the CCSW Pocket Shortwave Radio. Small little portable radio that is good if you're going to be traveling or anything like that. Now, what you have to do to enter is send us your name, where you live, and your phone number. And then as the names come in, we write them on little bits of paper, we put them into a bowl, and then at around 1418 UTC, we'll choose one and call that person up to say that they've won. The address to send it to is pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. So get them in now. When I mean now, I mean now, this very second, this very moment. I want to say actually hello to a few people before we get on to today's music. First to Lee Silva in the United States, to Nick Sharp in the United Kingdom, who's actually not listening in the UK directly. He's actually listening through Global Tuners in Hong Kong. And he said a few moments ago that the signal is a 44444. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a SINPO code. If you go to Google and put it in, you'll find what SINPO is. So thank you very much, Nick, for letting us know that it's coming in loud and clear. And I think now we should begin with our first piece of music today. As you're probably aware, this past week, one of the singers from the group The Everly Brothers died at age 74. That's Phil Everly. And back in the 1980s, there was a song that relaunched their career. It was a song written by Paul McCartney. Fantastic song, and I thought we'd begin with that today. On the Wings of a Nightingale, here are the Everly Brothers on your program, The Happy Station Show, coming to you live from PCJ Radio International. The Everly Brothers on the Wings of a Nightingale, beginning today's edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Well, this is something we haven't done for a while, so I think it's now time we head into our mailbag. All right, now let's take a look at some of the emails and letters that have come in over the past few weeks. And as I said before, we can't mention every single one that comes in, because if we did that, we just wouldn't have time for anything. But first, I want to say hello to John P. Cooper in Lebanon in the United States, to a name actually that I've seen before because he's written us, and that's Christian Gibaudot, who lives in France. Hello to James T. Pogue in Memphis, Tennessee, and hello to our very good friend Jerry Berg in Lexington in the United States. Jerry, by the way, has written a number of books concerning international broadcasting, and in his reception report for our transmission on December the 22nd, he said he was a little bit rusty. Well, you did a very good job, Jerry, a very, very good job. And I think actually maybe we should have you on the show again on this program, Happy Station, to talk about those books in the future. Hello to Peter Ning in Malaysia. Hello to you. Hello to Mr. Hirokiyuki. I knew at some point today I would get the names completely mangled. This is from Hiroyuki Okatada in Japan. Hello to Nobuyo Kato, also in Japan. And actually, this is a listener who I think you've sent us a couple of reception reports before. And also very nice stamps of Mr. Gandhi. Not Gandhi, the one who most people would think of, but another Gandhi. This is from our good friend Pirtho Wachia, who lives in Jahat Assam in India. Hello to Miko Kahora in Japan, and hello, mucho gracias a nuestro amigo César Pérez Díaz, que escucha la emisora ahora en Perú con la frecuencia de 1180. Mucho gracias para tu correo. And we're now going to move to a couple of emails that we came in. Hello to Brian Kendall. Hello to you. Hello to Mr. Ankar Peterson in Denmark. Thank you very much for your nice letter. Sergio Cristofaro in Italy, who was, by the way, listening on December the 22nd, and the frequency that he was listening to was 9335 kilohertz. Actually, it's a frequency that doesn't quite make its way very often to Europe, but occasionally it sometimes does. Next, actually, hello to Lim Kwet Hein, who lives in Indonesia. Klaus Kohler in Germany. And the next batch, for some reason, is all upside down. I don't know what would happen with that one, but a number of them here were actually completely upside down. Tony Asher in Indonesia. Always nice to actually see names of people that you know, because it sort of like feels like you know you're friends with them. Patrick Rubick in Germany. No, sorry, Austria. Not Australia, but Austria. Hello to Tetsuyayu Yagato in Japan. Peter Valliger in Germany. And like I said, we can't go through every single one. Ian Cameron. Ian Cameron. Any relation, by the way, to the British Prime Minister? Be fun, actually, if it is. You can say, Ian, listen, send us David's phone number. We'll call him up. That would be fun, wouldn't it? If we could get through to number 10 Downing Street and say, hi, David. How are things going? I heard you're having a little bit of trouble, but don't worry. Call me. I'll be your foreign minister. I'd probably do a very terrible job. next, hello to Andreas Vollmer in Germany. And finally, to Larry Zamora in Garland in the United States. Now, these people that I've just mentioned actually have already had their EQSLs responded to. On Tuesday this week, actually, we're sending out by post some 50 or so of them. So you should be receiving them very, very soon. All right, if you want to get in touch with us to let us know what reception is like in your part of the world, or just to say hello, our email address for that is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. And if you want to write us via snail mail, our snail mail address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, that's 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, L-A-N-E, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, that's S-A-N-M-I-N, like Norman, Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, that's B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Banqiao, Taiwan, 22070. Now, if you missed that for whatever reason, you can find the address at our website, and even online in all kinds of other different places and everything. So do write us, and you can receive our printed version QSL. We are going to be calling a couple of people up in a few moments. Oh, by the way, just want to remind you again that we are giving away a shortwave radio from Sea Crane Radio. And send your name and phone number to pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. Now, we are going to be calling a few people up. So our next selection of music is for somebody listening right now, all the way in Montreal, Canada. Actually, he's living in a place called Roxborough, which is just outside Montreal. His name is Boris Shidov. And as you probably gather from the name, he is Russian. Russian extraction, actually. Born in England, but father Russian, mother Italian. And I've known Boris for a number of years, and we used to listen to Radio Moscow way back in the 1980s. So, Boris, I thought we'd play for you and everyone else out there who remembers Radio Moscow the original music that was heard on the World Service of Radio Moscow just before the news. But I thought, you know, to introduce it, I should sound like a Radio Moscow announcer from the 1980s. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to back up from the microphone and yell really loudly to get that kind of, you know, echo effect that was very common. So, all right, here goes. This is the World Service of Radio Moscow, broadcasting in the 13, 19, 22, 49, 63, 220, 55,222-meter bands. Yes, not a very good impression. Here's the original interval for Radio Moscow going out to Boris and everyone else today.
Thank you. This is Radio Moscow World Service.
Yes, midnight in Moscow, the original interval for Radio Moscow World Service, and that was actually taken from an original tape that I had that goes back many, many years. So you were actually listening to something right now coming off Open Reel tape on Orwo, a tape made in East Germany. You are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And you know what? I just realized something that I didn't do before I started doing today's program, and that was, you know, make my cup of coffee. So as that was playing, we connected up another microphone, which I am now going to switch over to. There we go. It sounds a little bit different, and I'm actually going to walk to my coffee machine. I'm kidding. I'm really doing this. Now, just to show you that I'm actually on a portable microphone right now, right next to me is a shortwave receiver that is picking up 9335 kilohertz. And I'm going to turn the volume up for 1 second. There you go. Hello, hello. You see? So there it is. Yeah, it's actually coming off a radio right now. So I'm going to walk to my kitchen. And usually I actually prepare myself something before we do the show. As you can see right now, I am actually... Well, things are kind of falling apart today. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, you know, I should have done this earlier. Had a bit of a tough day today. Woke up more early than I normally do. And I don't know if you've ever had this before. You wake up really, really early. And then you think, oh, you know, why did I do this? I'm going to go to sleep for 3 hours. So that's exactly what I did. And then I ended up waking up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and feel quite... bleh is the only thing. Partially, I think it's because of the cold weather that we have here in Taipei. And in a few seconds, you should actually hear my coffee machine going. This is fun, isn't it? This is like watching paint dry. I mean, how many other people do you know would walk into their kitchen, which is exactly where I'm standing? I can prove it. I can turn on the fan, which is over the stove, and you can hear that. There we go. Yes, and you're thinking, oh, that's interference, isn't it? This thing is taking a little bit longer than it normally should, only because, there we go, and my coffee is now being made. If you're wondering, why does a coffee machine make so much noise? It's one of those capsule-type coffee machines. And, you know, one of the things I was kind of hoping today is that we could get the dogs to bark. Let me see what they're kind of up to. Oh, you see, every time I want them to bark, they don't. And then when it's inappropriate for them to do so, well, that's when they do it. It's quite annoying. You know, one of those things. You're listening, of course, to PCJ Radio International. I just want to tell you again that in about 10, 15 minutes from now, we're going to be announcing who the winner is of that radio. Now, I should tell you that you have to answer the phone, because if you don't answer the phone or it goes to an answer machine, you'll be disqualified as the winner, and we're not going to make another attempt to call you. So you really, really do need to answer. All right, my coffee is done. So that's for the listeners in North America. But I think I should have another one, maybe a little stronger. I could put something in it, I suppose, for, you know, it's evening, so I can, you know, celebrate with everybody at the same time. So we're going to have a little music, and then we're going to give a call to someone in India, a faithful listener of ours, so stay tuned for that. Now, I thought actually for our next song today, we would listen to something rather fun and silly. The song is called Kowloon Hong Kong, which is a district of Hong Kong, and it's by a group called The Rayonettes. Yes, the song is called Kowloon Hong Kong. It's from a group actually from Hong Kong from the 1960s called the Rayonettes. A very strange little number. Very, very strange indeed. All right, now time to call up someone, and hopefully they're going to be answering the phone. No, this is not the winner. I can just picture right now some people are standing right by their phone, you know, waiting. But we still have, you know, a little bit of time to go. We'll announce the winner before we sign off on the program today. We're going to actually reach a listener in India. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you, Keith.
Can you turn the radio down a bit? Actually, I can hear my voice coming through on your phone.
Yes, I just turned the wrong knob, Keith.
How are you doing? How are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Keith.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know that you are a radio amateur operator, correct?
Yes, Keith. I started on radio listening almost 30 years back in 1981 with a small two-in-one radio recorder.
Right. So, and you're also a regular listener as well, correct?
Yes, I have been listening, but off late my office and home responsibilities are taking a little bit of more time, and I find a very little time to come into the radio track here, Keith.
And just so our audience knows, what part of India are you located in?
I am in south part of India. Place is called Bangalore. Mm-hmm. I am originally from the palace city of Mysore, where I got started into the field of radio, Keith.
Ah, so you've heard, of course, so many stations over the time. You've heard stations that, you know, from the glory days, and you've heard, of course, you're very familiar with the changes that have been taking place in international broadcasting.
Yes, certainly, Keith, certainly. Those days, we used to find a lot of radio stations, especially, you know, beaming into India also. And those days were when we were in our college and we could afford to bunk classes and listen to the radio, Keith.
I remember many years ago, a friend of mine, who is actually from India, he works for the ABC in Australia. His name is Edmund Roy, and a very famous journalist, actually, at the ABC. And he told me a number of years ago, he said, one of the big things, he says, in India was people listening to Radio Australia for the cricket.
Yes, Keith. Radio Australia and the BBC were two stations where we were keeping in touch with cricket. And in fact, my grandfather, a sportsman himself, was one of the greatest listeners who actually got us interested into radio listening, more because of the cricket commentary around the globe, Keith.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this Sunday evening. We have to move on because time is going by faster than I would wish, actually.
Certainly, Chris. It is a pleasure talking to you after the days and months of chatting over Facebook. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for making such an excellent program where we can interact with you directly, Keith. 73 and bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to PCJ Radio International. The name of the program is The Happy Station, and I just want to tell you that in just about 6 minutes or so, 6-7 minutes, we're going to be announcing who the winner is of that Sea Crane Pocket Radio. It's called the Sea Crane Pocket Radio. It's a very nice shortwave receiver. So you still have about 5 minutes to send in your emails. There's a 5 minute mark, all right? So at the end of this song, the next song that you're going to listen to, that means if you send an email, it's going to be too late. The email address to send it to is pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. So after this song, we're closing down the contest, and then we'll be calling up the winner. The song we're going to take a listen to is a very famous song that was a big hit a number of years ago. It's The Lighthouse Family and High.
When you're close to tears, remember someday it'll all be over. One day we're gonna get so high. Though it's darker than
the Lighthouse family, and hi, on this Sunday morning. Well, Sunday morning anyway, in the U.S. and Canada. And, of course, Sunday evening here in East Asia and Southeast Asia. We know that actually a number of people are listening in other areas as well, because apparently propagation is good tonight. And just right now, I want to say happy birthday to somebody, Nick Sharp, in the United Kingdom, who celebrated his birthday on January the 1st. Can you imagine that, having your birthday on, you know, the beginning of the new year? Now, in a few moments, we're going to be announcing who the winner is of the receiver, the Sea Crane receiver. And we actually have somebody in the studio right now, somebody who you've seen them like posts before. And I don't know if they're taking a video or if they're taking video or are you taking a picture? Which one?
Video.
Ah, he's taking video, which we will post up later so we can show you that the show is actually live. And you can't see it right now, but I'm wearing my Top Gear T-shirt. So if Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond, or James May are listening, we'll give you some free promotion. Theo, Chinese New Year is coming up in a little bit. But of course, we just celebrated in the Western calendar the new year, going from 2013 to 2014. So I know that we have actually quite a lot of listeners in China right now. So I want you to wish them Happy New Year, that, you know, the beginning of 2014 in Chinese.
So now I speak Chinese, right? What? Switch to Chinese.
No, you speak German, okay?
Okay, whatever. Where are you? I speak in Chinese. Happy everyone, a very wonderful Chinese New Year 2014. Okay, here is Chinese. 大家好, 就是 Okay, 2014年新年快乐, 那希望大家所有的愿望都可以实现, 然后所有的家人都平安, 所有的爱情都圆满。 Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, now, the Chinese New Year is beginning at the end of January, and we're now going to be going into the Year of the Horse, right?
Yes.
Is there anything about the Year of the Horse, anybody that's listening right now who follows that, there's something that they should know, like, you know, don't cross the street or don't spend too much money, or you really don't know?
I really don't know. I really don't know.
You really don't know. So how do you say Happy Chinese New Year in Chinese?
Happy Chinese New Year.
Yeah. Or the greeting that, you know, most people would give in China and in
okay,
Taiwan.
Actually, there's one is actually the same, but we can say in the other way is called 春节快乐. Mm-hmm. Because 新年快乐, 新年 mean New Year in Chinese is the same. But if we say 春节快乐, 春节 means Spring Festival. Yeah, so spring, I think in the old world, in Chinese, is also mean the new year. So new year, also spring. Yeah, so we call 春节快乐, because 春节快乐, every Chinese exactly know this is Chinese, happy Chinese New Year.
All right. And by the way, if you're listening right now and want free Chinese lessons, you can contact us at the email and Theo will get back to you. And you can give you Chinese lessons. All right, thanks a lot. We only have a few minutes before we go. So it's now time to do the drawing about who's going to be winning that Sea Crane radio. And while Theo was talking there a second ago, we actually managed to pick up a winner, which gave us a little bit of time. So now let's call them up, and hopefully they answer. The phone will be ringing in a second. Who is the winner going to be? We'll find out. Could you imagine, like, if they've stepped out or something, or have been preoccupied with something else and are not going to be answering? There we go. The phone is ringing. The phone is ringing again. We'll give it another three times before we move on to the next person.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic...
All right. Well, you know what? That person didn't answer, so we now have to go on to the next one. And we're running out of time here, so we have to make this quick. So hopefully, we'll be able to get somebody before we sign off today. So I'm now entering the phone number, and you'll hear me dial. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, we still have 4 minutes, so we're not, you know, we're not running out too bad. So hopefully this person will be able to answer.
Hello.
Hello, may I speak to Larry Zamora, please?
Yes, this is Larry.
Hello, Larry. It's Keith here from the Happy Station Show at PCJ Radio International. Guess what? You are the winner of the Sea Crane shortwave receiver.
That's fantastic. I've been listening all morning.
And where you're located in Texas, right?
Yes, I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
The Dallas-Fort Worth area. And how is reception over there on 11880 kilohertz?
Oh, it's coming in very good. I give it a solid 4444.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Larry, look, we're going to have to end the show in a moment. So what I will do is I will contact you after we finish the show so we can get the all your details from you to make sure that you get the radio. All right?
All right, Dan. Thank you.
All right. Congratulations.
Thanks again.
All right. The winner today is Larry Zamora. Now, next week, we're also going to be doing the show live again, so you'll have to tune in and find out what kind of things that we're going to be doing then next week. Anyway, it's time to wish you goodbye. I have to leave you right now. Once again, if you want to send us a reception report, the email address is very simple. It's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com, or via snail mail with the address that I gave earlier. I don't have time to get it out right now, but if you go to our website, I'm sure that you can find it there with no problem. We're going to end today with Dusty Springfield, and I close my eyes and count to 10. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Say or do make me want you so. It has nothing to do with the wine or the music that's flooding my mind. But never before have I been so sure you're the someone. A few dreams.